let's dive into two of the really most interesting fear reframes that we can do. Thomas J. Watson was the president of IBM, International Business Machines. And he was the one who oversaw that company's growth into an international company, yeah, huge company, from the 1920s to the 1950s. And one of the things that he said continuously was, if you want to succeed, double your failure rate. Now, I want you to notice that we're going to reframe fear in a very amazing way right now. So, the fear of failure. Back in the old days, failure meant physical death. You starved, and your family and you became dinner. Today, failure is the key to success because failing to nail it, you know, think about the amount of information in the world. It's almost impossible to nail it the first time through. Now, I used to use all sorts of ineffective tools in my coaching practice and also in my manifesting practice. And I noticed the ineffective tools failed. And so when those tools didn't work, I set out on a quest to develop or to discover or to model the people who had the skills that it took to get the results that I wanted. So in other words, I failed my way to success because I noticed that's not working the way it should. And so since that's not working the way it should, I'm going to start making course corrections. So think of failure as the opportunity for a course correction, because in today's society, you don't got to worry, you know, about meals. Okay, you don't got to worry about being eaten when you go to the supermarket. But still, when you watch people at the supermarket, they're hyper-tense, they're full of fear. And we want to get past that. And the way to get past that, again, is to realize what is failure in today's society? What is failure in today's economy? What is failure really about? Failure is an invitation to make adjustments and to do a course correction. Think of it this way. If you were going to take a boat and come to Australia, and you left Los Angeles, and you got in your kayak and you started paddling, and you noticed, you know what, Australia's a little bit off to the left, so I'm going to turn to the right. Then you paddle for a while and you realize, no, Australia's a little bit now off to the right. I better turn to the left. And so you're making course corrections because there's waves in the ocean. Okay, you're making course correction because there's waves in your life. It's like, you know, literally, as I'm making this recording, there's the potential for me to make a mistake. And if I make a mistake, I make a course correction and I correct it. And I've discovered a lot of ways to make less mistakes because I've failed my way to developing systems that work. So this whole fear of failure, you know, tied into this, here's a little bit more of a specific example, but it's also a separate fear, the fear of rejection. This is one of the primal ones. So you walk up, right? You make your move and they shoot you down. That's what you fear, right? You walk up, you make your move, they shoot you down. They reject you. It's embarrassing. Oh my God. By the way, all the fears feel the same. The fear of confrontation, the fear of physical death or injury, the fear of embarrassment, the fear of rejection. They all feel the same. They feel like death. They're scary. They feel like you're going to get eaten, that you're going to be dinner, somebody else's enjoyment. So let's get over this, right? So let's put a tiny little reframe on this, because this is how life was for me before. So I decided to walk up. I decided to make my move, and I got shot down. And I said something to myself. I didn't go, loser. What I did was I go, you know, talking about myself. What I went was, wow, I just saved myself years of frustration. I don't have to marry her. I don't even have to date her. I don't even have to buy her a drink. I just saved some money. You see, it's the same with clients as well. Some clients are more trouble than they're worth. Yeah, I noticed this years ago whenever I was in direct sales. Sometimes I'd knock on a door and, what do you want? I'm busy. I'm trying to make money. Oh, how's it going? Not that good. Really? Wow. You're interested in some change? Well, not if it's going to take up my time. Okay, have a great day. I'll go find the next guy to talk to. Okay, because I don't have to wrestle with that client all day long. I don't have to fight with him to try to change his mind. If he wants to stay stuck and confused, God bless him. Have a wonderful day. See ya. I can move on to someone else. Because as you discover, getting shot down isn't death. It might feel like it, but it's not. That's just your primal programming still in place. Remember, You are greater than any state. You're greater than any tool. You're greater than any circumstance. What is fear? Fear was a tool that ensured our biological survival up through the eons. Fear is what prevented us from being dinner. Fear is what prevented us from getting kicked out of the tribe. But what's really cool in today's internet, in today's world, you can travel anywhere and join another tribe. You can get online and join a tribe. You can make a tribe. There's no reason to fear rejection, because it just tells you, yeah, that's the kind of person I don't want to be with. That's the kind of person I don't want to have as a client. So we get to just, again, notice these things. And again, we also reframed a little bit earlier by chunking down a little bit this whole thing about the fear of spiders. In other words, what are you really afraid of? No one's afraid of spiders. They're afraid of rejection, of embarrassment, of death, of injury, of confrontation. You shouldn't be afraid of spiders. Remember, confrontation isn't logic. It's an excuse for logic, and it's a poor one. But we've discovered that in the previous recording. So let's go into the anxiety eliminator. Because this is really important. Because fear, when it's felt for a long time, becomes addictive. It becomes a chemical that your body expects to have. And if your body expects to have it, it will actually start to manufacture it for any reason. This is why some people get a general nameless anxiety. They're not afraid of spiders or rejection or failure. They're just, well, I feel anxious about everything. Here's the key to eliminating anxiety. The key to eliminating anxiety is to sit with it. Stop labeling it. Don't label it anxiety. I used to get anxiety before I fought. Yeah, I was a competitive fighter back in my teens and early 20s. And I used to have anxiety show up for a little while. And then I would notice, it's not anxiety. I could relabel it, amping up, because all it was energy, right? But I labeled it anxiety because there were fears that I hadn't dealt with. But anyway, so what we want to do, if anxiety is a part of your life, is you want to notice the exact sensations. I want you to notice, where does it show up in your body? First, drop the label of anxiety. And we'll just call it energy that's stuck. We can just call it energy. And what I want you to do is just notice the sensations. Where is it in your body? Is it in your belly, in your chest, in your face, in your feet? Just notice where it is. Notice the exact sensations. Does it move around? Does it have a direction? Does it increase or decrease? Just notice the sensations and sit with them. Because if you sit with them, you're going to notice something. One, they don't last as long as you do. You've got plenty of time every day, even though you may or may not notice it, that you don't have those sensations that you've labeled as anxiety. They don't last nearly as long as you do. Two, they are separate from you. If you're noticing them, you're what's noticing them. You are the noticer. They're separate from you. And what's the key is once they're felt out fully, don't resist them, don't run away from them. You don't want to have an aversion to them because your body's craving them and your mind's having an aversion to them. Okay, so if your body's craving them because you've had fears for so long that it just goes nameless in general, becomes anxiety, the key to dealing with this is, again, just sit it out. Just sit there and just notice it. Don't label it. And if it applies itself to something, don't bother with it. Just sit there with it. Notice the sensations. Notice where they are in the body. Notice if they move. Just notice. And when you notice that you're the one that's noticing, yeah, because you are, you're this impersonal noticing of this thing that we could call anxiety. And as you sit there and notice it, at some point you're going to be able to congratulate yourself because you've stuck around. Your attention has. You've kept the flashlight focused on it long enough to go, yep, wow, I outlasted it. I am the operant power. So, why do we want to eliminate anxiety? Because if we don't, it develops into worry. And again, just think of it this way. Worry is just anxiety reapplied to an imaginary specific. Okay? Anxiety begins to drive worry because you make up all kinds of things out there and in the future to have a fear about. And you don't need to, because you are the operant power. Fear has been a tool that sometimes makes us look like a fool. But fear is nothing more than a tool. It's a tool that kept us alive biologically. And in today's culture, with today's possibilities, with who you are today, you've learned some wonderful things in this training. ways to not just deal with the fear, but to make it your friend. Because your hammer's not your enemy, neither is your screwdriver. Fear doesn't have to be either. Because it's just a part of our human heritage. It's part of our biology. And again, we've covered some cool ways to do it. Remember the framework by MacLean that basically talks about the three brains. The fear comes from the lizard brain primarily. It can be enhanced a little bit in the mammalian brain, that monkey brain. But that's okay, because once you realize there's other people that have had your fear as well and they've gotten over it, now you've joined a new club. You know, one that you can't get kicked out of because you're one of the people that's transcended your fears. And one of the ways to do that is, again, to take it up, to notice how you do it. We've covered some really interesting ways to notice how you do it and how to, you know, work with it. Some other tools that you can bring into the toolbox so you just don't have fear as a tool. You've got all these cool little tools that we've talked about in the first recording. And you use them in love. Because when you use them in love, you know, you just notice, you know what, fear actually has been trying to care for me. Fear has been trying to make me careful. And by using the tools, you get to be caring. Caring is an active verb. And it brings you more into realizing that you are the operant power in your life. So, that's it for today. I really want to thank you for listening in. And visit us at freeneville.com, metamanifesting.com. We've got all sorts of goodies there. Make sure you go to metamanifesting and print out the chart that's there. It'll really give you some good perspective into this. And make sure you also print out the notes. Because if you print out the notes, you mark them up, you notice how you apply them. You turn this knowledge into wisdom. Because when you start making what we're sharing yours, it becomes a part of you. Just like fear was a part of you. And again, a healthy fear of spiders, well, that's called respect. You're respecting, you know, I respect the Forex markets when I trade. I trade with the trend. That's called respect. It's not called, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to lose all my money. It's called, you know, I'm going to work with the odds. And the odds are, again, at this point, and in this culture, this time in history, well, you've been given the tools that you need. Have a wonderful day. See ya.